Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. It's good to see some of our friends back. Jacob, all the way from overseas, and Mark, who gave me a nice chocolate bar. Good to see you back with us. Remember Irma Bombeck back in the 80s? She was funny, but she also wrote articles that gave good advice. And somebody asked her, how do you have such great articles every week? Do you save up articles and then use them? And she said, what often is saved is lost. She said, I always had a dream that when I am asked to give an account of my life to a higher court, it will be like this. So empty your pockets. What have you got left in your life? Any dreams that were unfulfilled? Any unused talents that we gave you when you were born that you still have left? Any unsaid compliments or bits of love that you haven't spread around? And I will answer, I've nothing to return. I spent everything you gave me. I'm as naked as the day I was born. Now, wouldn't that be a great way to go out? I mean, you left it all on the field, or maybe 110%, but the gifts you have, you've used them to the fullest. And I think Irma has something to say today to our friend, the rich man. Now, let's not be tough on the rich man. He was rich. That's a good thing. In fact, to the Jews, if you're rich, that means God's blessing you. But then the book of Job shows a rich man that had problems, but that's another story. If, you know, he kept all the commandments, he would be like somebody that you'd love to have as a neighbor. A good guy. Maybe he lives in Treesdale or Squirrel Hill or something. And he'd be a guy that you'd want to have around. He's successful. He's responsible. You could trust him. But with all this good stuff, I mean, his morals, his money, his reputation, all very good. But he felt something was missing. And he saw this Jesus. He said, maybe Jesus has the secret to what I'm missing in my life. And so he runs and he says, oh, Master, what must I do to attain eternal life, to have that eternal peace? And Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. Only God is good. And you're asking me a question that you already know the answer. I mean, you have Torah, you have the Ten Commandments, you know, honor the Lord your God, you know, remember the Sabbath, don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, you know, don't gossip. The rich man says, I've done all these things since my youth, and he probably did, but he still felt empty. And Jesus likes that. No BS with this guy. He was down to earth. He was vulnerable. He was very, very honest with Jesus. And that's why it says, you know, Jesus loved him. You know, Jesus looks at him again and he says, you lack one thing. One thing. Go and sell it all. All your riches. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. I'd be honored to have you as a disciple. What? Get rid of it all? All your life's work? All your money? You know, I don't know about you, but as an American, that kind of, ouch. I mean, you gotta look at the practical stuff here. You know, look at, but I think, you know, sometimes maybe we have problems with this whole deal about possessions and money. There's a wonderful Jungian analyst and professor, Jacob Needleman, who just died recently, but he was a professor of philosophy at San Francisco State University. And he wrote a book entitled Money and the Meaning of Life. And he wrote, we live in an affluent society. And the affluence doesn't do what we want it to. It doesn't make us happy or free or immortal. even content. In fact, he says that our desire for money is a kind of self-imposed hell. In a chapter entitled The New Poverty, he writes, "Hell is the state in which we are barred from receiving what we truly need because of the value we give to what we merely want." Majoring in minors. Majoring in what the society says, oh, you need to be successful, you need to have, you know. And he says, take your money you get from this and give to the poor. You know, how often did Jesus talk about homosexuality? Zero. How often did Jesus talk about abortion? Zero. How much did he talk about the poor and need to support the poor, even in the first lesson Sarah read? Or the orphan? Or the widow? Or the immigrant and the stranger sojourner in your midst? A lot. Read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Let Jesus talk to you. But what happens if we all live that way? Gave it all away. What about my retirement? What about our responsibility to our families? What about where we live? How will we support ourselves? Now, maybe Jesus is just talking about this rich man, huh? But what would he say to us if we came to him and asked the same question about eternal life? Well, I would think he would identify whatever you put number one in your life. Where do you put your hopes? Where do you put your dreams? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What is it? Is it your career? Is it being a parent or a grandparent? Is it success? Is it power? Is it, I want people to think I'm smart? You know, obligations that you have. But if it's not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, knowing that I am the Lord your God, you shall know that God's before me, then something's amiss. Now, he told the rich man to release his grip on his possessions, not to be possessed by his possessions. You know, in Burma, they have an interesting way of catching monkeys, okay? They get these coconuts, and they kind of secure them to the ground. They cut a little hole in them, hollow them out, and put in sweetmeats. And these monkeys are crazy about sweetmeats. But the hole's just big enough to get their hand in. But once they grasp the sweetmeat, they can't get their hand back out. So when the guys come to get the monkeys, they're caught. All they had to do was let go. And they'd be free. But they hold on. And they're caught by their desire. You know, John and I saw a wonderful lady, a priest, Episcopalian church at one time, and now she's not, but Barbara Taylor Brown, remember her? And she said, you cannot accept God's gift if you have no open hands to receive it. You cannot make room for it if your rooms are already full. You cannot follow if you are not free to let go. Now, Joan will tell you, I confess, I'm a saver. I love to save books. I don't like Kindles. I like books. You can open them. You can smell them. You can underline them. You can put markers in them. You can go back to refer to them. And I like them. I like libraries. I was a librarian when I was in high school. I loved it. I even had my first book when I was at first grade. Dick and Jane and Sally and Baby Puff. Remember that? About little Puff? I still have that book. Now, is Jesus telling me get rid of all that? Give it away, sell it, and give it to the poor, take it to half-price books? Joan wishes it would, that we would. But maybe Jesus, as he usually does, wants us to go deeper, to use your thoughts and imagination. What's he saying? Maybe he's saying we need to look at our attitude towards our possessions. You know, to remember, everything belongs to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. These pews belong to God. Those trees belong to God. That squirrel belongs to God. Oh yeah, we might have materials to make things, but God made the materials. God gave us the brains. God gave us the fingers to use. Everything belongs to God. And it's God gives it to us for a time in our short life here on earth to use or to abuse. It's up to us. I mean, we have freedom. You know, if we forget it belongs to God, then we think that we can do what we want with what we have because it's mine, how I want to do it, when I want to do it. But you can do that, sure. But then, like the rich man, something's missing. Yet when I truly realize that this is all a gift, you're a gift, everything's a gift from God, then there's joy. We can do things to the glory of God. Then there's a change that can take place in your heart and your whole attitude towards people, towards money, towards things. You know, you can go and take care of your body, eat properly, get 8 hours sleep. Take care of your body so then your body can be healthy to help others. You know, you can help out the church like I get today. There's Terry and Jim and Marilyn and others helping get with the Altar Guild. You know, Kathy, she's here every Saturday. She needs help with the bulletins. I mean, give her a break. We could all be involved with that. People, we can help out in many different. Many of you already do. You can join a class. You can learn more about the Bible or about Martin Luther, how to live a evangelical life. Or you can help your shut-in neighbor. You know, take a dinner over. Or, you know, say, can I help you? Grocery. Remember when you had that terrible, terrible accident? And my heart was so happy when people came and they supported and they loved you as part of the body of Christ. Or when in a few weeks we're going to have somebody that might not have a happy Christmas dinner, we can give to that. There's joy in that just by giving in Jesus' name to his glory. You know, I was reading John Wesley recently. He wrote something that really struck me. John Wesley, he helped the Lutheran, the Methodist. But he was reading Luther when his heart was changed, by the way. We have a connection. But anyhow, he said, make all the money you can to do all the good you can in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Wow. Wow. To having that freedom to give in joy. Because you see, we don't have to worry about eternal life. Jesus Christ died and rose for us. We are justified by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. We are free to make mistakes because we can go back to God for forgiveness. We are free to generously give because know that God will provide. He lets us know what the happy news of He is. To live that kind of freedom and childlike faith. Many of you already do that, and I see it, and that's really great. But if you don't do it, just Jesus said, give it a shot. Open your hands. Let go, let God. Try it. You'll like it. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.